William Eric Plunkett is in the studio with me tonight. He's a former special agent with the FBI and has turned his experience and expertise from that career to writing. His first book was titled The G-Man and the Diamond King. And tonight we'll talk about his second book, which is titled The G-Man and the Nurse. Welcome to Round Cincinnati, Bill.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So let's just start with the setting for this book. Where and when does it take place?
It takes place in Washington, D.C. in September 1929.
And who is the nurse in the title? Just if you would, you know, give us an idea of what we know of her personality and how old she was and so forth.
Virginia Hurley McPherson. Her full name was Mary Virginia Hurley McPherson from China Grove, North Carolina. Attended high school there, had moved to Washington, D.C. to take up training as a nurse, and then got practical experience at Gallinger Hospital in D.C. Her personality, she was outgoing at times and introverted at times, would be the classic flapper of the 1920s, enjoyed the music, the alcohol, the dancing, and fun.
And she ends up dead.
Yes.
So the Metropolitan Police Department of Washington, D.C. are on the job, and that's a pretty complicated situation. So what was going on at the police department in those days? How was it viewed?
It was viewed as corrupt because of Prohibition. Some of the officers were on the take, but they did have some very talented detectives, investigators on the homicide squad.
And they had somebody who was pretty, I would say he was a bit flamboyant, but also persistent, wasn't he?
Officer? Yes. The patrolman, Robert Joseph Allen, he had been on the force for less than 3 years. And when the case broke, he didn't like the decision of the coroner's inquest, so he started his own investigation.
And then another important player comes in. So we know often that someone's death is caused by those closest to us. In this case, it was Virginia's husband, Robert, who was the suspect. And because things are what they are at the police department, the Bureau of Investigation, which eventually becomes the FBI, comes into the situation. So that's a good part of your book and certainly must be close to your experience. What does the Bureau do?
Because of Patrolman Robert Allen's efforts and the Hurley family, Virginia's family, and two senators from the Carolinas, they didn't like the decision of the coroner's inquest of suicide. They felt that the police department did an inadequate job in the investigation. They pressured the attorney general to bring the Bureau of Investigation at the time in on the case to just take another look at it, not to investigate the police department, but to take another look at the investigation.
And this is the very early days for J. Edgar Hoover, yes?
Yes. He had become the director in 1924 and had started changing the organization, hiring mostly lawyers and accountants, professionalizing the organization by starting training, both classroom training and firearms training.
I want to talk just briefly about the we won't tell people what the conclusion is here, but I want to talk just briefly about how you chose to format the book, because it isn't just text. You want to tell us what else is included?
There are some sidebars that talk about the period, the 1920s, some of the individuals involved in the case, and the early Bureau of Investigation before it became the FBI, the Identification Division, fingerprinting, and so on.
And some documents and photographs also. Interesting, because there were a lot of people involved in this case. So I'm guessing that there are maybe a number, you tell me, of cold cases. What drew you to this one?
This particular case, when I did my first book, The G-Man and the Diamond King, I obtained the agent in that particular story, Nelson Klein, his personnel file from the FBI. And while I was going through it, there was a letter of commendation from Director Hoover on this case. So in the first book, I talk about this case, a couple of pages, because there really wasn't a whole lot of information about Nelson Klein. So I had to kind of fill in a little bit about what he did on the job. So after the first book was published, I decided to take a second look, go back through the FBI file, which I had obtained, and the result is the G-Men and the nurse.
I would also be curious to know if in your career as an FBI special agent, were there what became cold cases that you had to walk away from or move on from that haunt you?
No. I predominantly worked in the foreign counterintelligence area and later was a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force here in Cincinnati after 9/11. The kind of cases I worked were what I like to refer to as small fires. You get the threat to either an individual or a property. There's a quick turnaround. You have to resolve it one way or the other and then move on.
Well, what about what's next after this? Are you going to continue on this path?
Yes, I'm currently doing research for a possible third book. It's a kidnapping of Alice Speed Stoll in Louisville, Kentucky in 1934. And how I got involved with this story is the same. Nelson Klein did some investigation on this kidnapping case as well. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like finishing the circle, I guess.
I want to thank you so much for your book and for visiting with us tonight. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking with William Eric Plunkett about his latest book, which is titled The G-Man and the Nurse, a 1929 FBI Washington cold case. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.